I want to talk to you about when a faithful man feels slighted. When a faithful man feels slighted. Go with me to Luke chapter 15. We're going to start with verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou hast never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was fit that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. In this story, the youngest son asks his father for his inheritance, the prodigal, what we call the prodigal son. And the reason why he asks for the inheritance is because he didn't want to wait for his father to pass away. He didn't want to wait to receive his part of the inheritance when his father died. So he asked his father for his inheritance. And the reason why he wanted his inheritance, because the prodigal desired to leave home and pursue the desires of his own heart. A discontentment found a place in this youngest son's heart. And really what he wanted to do is he wanted to leave his ordained place. He wanted to leave the place that was an ordained place for him with his father. And sometimes Christians do this. Sometimes a discontentment can come into the heart, and we can leave our Father's will. We can leave His perfect will. And there are many Christians that do this. They don't so much wander into sin. It's just that sometimes there's old ambitions that rise up in the heart. There are things that rise up in the heart that we've never truly surrendered to the Lord. We've never fully gave it over to the Lord. And these old ambitions rise up in the heart, and one more time, we find ourselves pursuing these ambitions. So the prodigal leaves to follow after the desires of his own heart, and we know the story. He's gone for a long time because he has a lot of money to spend. And he squanders away his inheritance. He squanders away that portion that his father divided to him. He squanders it away in sin. And the Bible says that after a time, after squandering away his inheritance, he finds himself in a place of desperation because he has no more money. And so he, in his place of desperation, he gets a job feeding pigs. He gets a job feeding swine. And brothers and sisters, I really have to say this job, it probably really paid lousy, because even though he's working, feeding the pigs, he finds himself in a place of starvation. He finds himself going hungry. And he finds himself actually eating with the pigs. He finds himself at the feeding trough with the pigs eating. And it's in this place that he begins to remember the goodness of his father's house. And he rises up and he says, I'm going to go home to my father and ask to be restored by my father, even if it's to be a servant. So he gets up and he makes that journey home to be again in his father's house. And the Bible then tells us that his father sees him coming from a long way off, from a distance. And his heart is just so moved with love, and his heart is just so moved with compassion. And he runs to his youngest son, and he embraces his youngest son, and he begins to weep over his youngest son because his heart is so moved. He really loves his son. And the Bible says that he tells his servants to bring out his best robe and to put it upon his son, and to bring his ring and place it upon his son's finger. Then he tells the servants to kill the fatted calf, because my son is here and we're going to have a great celebration. You really see the heart of the father for the wayward son. But then the Bible tells us that the eldest brother comes in from a long, hard day's work, a long, hard day in the fields. And he hears the celebration. He hears the music. He hears the dancing. He hears these things. And he inquires of the servants, well, what's going on? What's happening here? And the servants tell him that your youngest brother has returned and your father's having a great celebration for him. Your father's giving a feast for him. And when the eldest brother heard this, he was very hurt and he was very angry. He sees the robe, he sees the ring, he sees the fatted calf. He sees that his father has lavished upon his younger brother honor and favor and goodness. And he's deeply hurt and he's deeply angry by his father's reception of his younger brother. And in his heart, he's grieved. In his heart, he's lamenting. In his heart, he's saying, you honored him with your best robe. You favored him with your ring of authority. You're pouring out your goodness upon this son by killing the fatted calf and having a party and a celebration. And in his anger and in his hurt, he says, how could you do this thing? How could you do this? And when you look at the eldest son's reaction and hear the words that come out of his mouth, you can see that he feels slighted. He feels like his father has never honored him in this capacity. He feels like his father has never poured out his goodness upon him in this capacity. He feels like his father has never expressed his great pleasure toward him in this capacity. He's a man that feels slighted. And when you look at the eldest son's words, you see in his heart he feels his father really didn't appreciate the sacrifices he made to be faithful to his father. In his heart, he feels like his father really didn't appreciate the sacrifices that he made to stick by his father. Again, look with me at verse 29. Verse 29. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. So in other words, what you hear him saying is this. You hear him saying, I was faithful to labor and toil for you in the field. I was faithful to honor you in our home. I was faithful to submit to your authority. I was faithful to live by your rules. I stuck by you in the good times and in the bad times. I put my own dreams and desires to stay by your side. And yet you never showed me any of this honor. You never showed me any of this goodness. I was the one that stayed and stuck by you. And yet when my wandering brother comes home, you roll out the red carpet and you lavish him with honor and with goodness. And I'm very hurt by this thing. You can really sense in his heart that he's really hurt. He's not just angry, he's hurt. Now I really thought long and hard about this. The Lord just had this passage of scripture on my heart. And I really thought long and hard on this scripture, really searching the heart of the Lord and trying to find out, Lord, what is it that you're really speaking to my heart? What is it that you want to say to your people this morning? I feel like there's something more than calves and robes and rings that you want to get at this morning. And I really believe the Lord showed me something here. The real issue isn't the robe, and it's not the ring, and it's not the fatted calf. The real issue isn't really his brother coming home. That's not the real issue. The real issue in this man's heart is that he is deeply hurt because he sees the pleasure his father's face has toward his youngest son. He sees the joy on his father's face toward his brother. He sees the love on his father's face toward his brother. He hears the laughter. He sees the joy. And he's hurting in his heart because he never himself came into that place with his father. That's really the deeper issue here. See, deep in his heart, he longed to know his father's pleasure. He longed to know the joy of his father, but he never came into this place himself. He's not jealous over the calf. He's not really jealous over the robe. He's not really jealous over the ring. It's much deeper than that. The real issue is he's hurt and angry because he has never experienced this part of his heart, of his father's heart for himself, and he longed for it. He longed to know his father's pleasure. He longed to know the joy that his father had for him personally. That's the deep issue here. He never came into it himself. If we really look into the eldest son's heart, we can really have compassion on him. If you really take time to look into his heart. Don't just read the story, but really look into his heart and see what's going on. It's so easy to have compassion on this man. And it can be really easy to sympathize with his reaction. But yet, here's the thing. We know by his father's response that his reaction was wrong. I want you to look with me at verse 29. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was fit that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." So we see in these scriptures that the eldest son's father did not condone his actions. But there's something I really want to look at in verse 31. Look with me at verse 31. "And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is yours." Now, looking at this, it would be easy to think that the father is talking about fatted calves in the stall, robes, rings on the finger, having parties so his friends can come over and enjoy the festivities. It would be easy to think that he was talking about that, the father. But when you look at it, I really believe the father is talking about something deeper. What the father is saying is this: "My son, my heart has always been yours. My pleasure has always been yours. The deep abiding joy that I have in you have always been yours. My honor and my favor and my goodness has always been yours. You remained in my house, and my heart and my pleasure and my goodness has always been toward you. And now your brother has come, and isn't it only natural for a father to rejoice?" I really believe with all my heart that's what God is saying here. The father is saying to his eldest son, "Son, my pleasure has always been towards you. My love and the joy and the pride that I have that you are my son, it's always been towards you. But isn't it right that your youngest brother has come home? He was lost, but now he's found. And isn't it only right that a father rejoice in the finding of his son when his son comes home?" See, understand the father's heart and pleasure and joy towards his oldest son was always there. So here's the question. What was the eldest son's hindrance? How come he never knew and really experienced the father's pleasure and joy towards him? How come he never experienced it for himself? Well, there's a hindrance here. And it's a hindrance in many people's hearts. There are many people sitting in the church who love the Lord. And I'm not talking about having a prodigal heart. They really love the Lord and walk in obedience to the Lord. But they really don't know the father's pleasure for themselves. They really don't know. They've never experienced the joy that God has for them in their hearts. They never have. And it's because there's a hindrance. I want to show it to you. Again, look with me at verse 29. "And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve you, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou hast never gavest me a kid." So he says to his father, "Father, I have served you. I have worked in your field. I have labored for you. But you've never given me a kid. You've never expressed this pleasure that I see you giving my younger brother. You've never expressed it. And I have worked for you all these years." And this is the problem. Here's the hindrance. When you really look at it, he feels in his heart, there's a subtleness. He feels in his heart that he has to work for and merit his father's acceptance. He has to work for to merit his father's pleasure. These many years have I worked. And this is where so many in the body of Christ is at today. They've never really sensed in their hearts the pleasure the Lord has for them. They've never really sensed in their heart the joy the Lord has in them. And the reason is, deep in their heart, they still feel like they have to merit the pleasure of God. They have to merit the love of God. They have to merit the acceptance of God, instead of just opening their heart and receiving it by faith. This whole mentality. I've met a lot of Christians, and the very reason why they do not have a devotional life, the very reason why they do not spend time seeking God, is because it's such a mental struggle. They want to have a devotional life. They want to seek the Lord, but they have such a mental struggle. In the quiet places of prayer, their minds are flooded with their own sense of failure. And it's in the quiet places, that the enemy's voice seems the loudest. It's in the quiet places that his accusations against their mind seem the loudest. And what happens, the person falls into agreement with the enemy. You're right. I have really fallen short. I haven't been perfect enough to earn a place in my Father's presence. I haven't been perfect enough for my Heavenly Father to take pleasure in me. My Heavenly Father is frowning upon me in disappointment, so what right do I have to be in His presence seeking His face? I know that battle. I know what it's like to be in the quiet places of prayer, and that's when the enemy's accusations seem the loudest. And that's why many don't have a devotional life, because it's such a mental struggle in the quiet places. Instead of standing in their position, they come into agreement with the enemy. They agree with his accusations, and they say, what right do I have to be here in my Father's presence? I have not done everything perfectly. And in a strong sense, we are doing the same thing the eldest son is doing. Working and striving to feel like we have merited our Father's pleasure, only to feel like we have fallen so short time and time again. And brothers and sisters, the Lord sent me here with a very simple message this morning. He takes so much joy. He takes so much pleasure in His people. And He knows that we're not perfect. If we were perfect, we would not need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We would not need that perfect righteousness that comes by Him. So the Lord has made provision for our imperfection, the perfect righteousness of Jesus. And the Lord wants us to come into His presence and spend time with Him, because He knows if we spend time with Him, His presence will change us. Real quickly, I want you to go with me to two passages of Scripture in Isaiah. Go with me to chapter 19, and then go with me to chapter 61. Look at verse 10, Isaiah 61. We're going to start with chapter 61, verse 10. Verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice. Everyone say rejoice. Now say it like you rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. I will greatly rejoice in my Lord. My soul shall be, everybody say joyful. Joyful in my God. Why? For He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Brothers and sisters, listen. Why can we rejoice? Why can we have a rejoicing in our heart? Why can we rejoice in the presence of the Lord? Why? Because when my Heavenly Father sees me, He sees the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. I have joy because when my Heavenly Father looks at me, He sees me faultless and blameless in His sight, and He bids me to come boldly into His presence, into an intimate place, and have intimate communion with Him. I can have joy in my heart because God has clothed me in His righteousness. He's clothed me in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then He says, now you have a place in my presence. Now you have an acceptable place in my presence. And I tell you to come into my presence because there's so much I want to share with you. There's so many things on my heart that I want to tell you. Come. And brothers and sisters, when we come into the Lord's presence, what happens when we come into the Lord's presence? What happens when we spend that intimate time with God, resting in our righteousness? What happens? Look with me at chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 19. Look with me at verse 1. The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt. Listen to this. I love this. And the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence. And the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence. In other words, when we spend time in the Lord's presence, the enemy's strongholds are broken by his presence. When we spend time in the Lord's presence, the idols in our heart that we so struggle with are uprooted by his presence. Listen, the Lord's talking about a pagan people here. He's talking about a rebellious people. He's saying, when I come, their idols are going to be moved at my presence. So how much more when it's his people that love him and they bring their hearts to him, how much more are the enemy's strongholds going to be destroyed? How much more are those things that we struggle with, we really want to lay them down, how much more are they going to be uprooted by the presence of God? I'm reminded of when the Ark of God was taken and placed in Dagon's temple. The idol Dagon. And the Bible says that Dagon, the idol Dagon, fell down before the very presence of the Lord. And when it fell down before the presence of the Lord, the head and the hands were broken. And brothers and sisters, what this means to me is that when we come into the God's presence, the enemy's thoughts and his voice and his power has to bow to the presence of the Lord in our life. His voice and his strength is rendered powerless in our life. This is why the enemy fights so hard to keep you out of the Lord's presence. This is why his accusations and condemnations come so strong against your mind. Because he knows if you spend time in God's presence, God is going to heal you, God is going to deliver you, God is going to change you. That's why he fights so hard to make you feel so unworthy to be in the Lord's presence. And all the time the Lord is saying, I know about your imperfections, I know about your flaws, I know about these things, but I have a remedy. If you'll come into my presence and behold me, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, you are changed from glory to glory. So going back to our story of the eldest son. Go with me again back to Luke chapter 15. Again, the prodigal never experienced the joy and the pleasure of his father's heart. Because deep within he felt he had to merit it. And many of the Lord's people are in that place. They have never really experienced in their own heart the Father's joy and the Father's pleasure that he has for them. So here's the question. How do we open our heart and receive God's pleasure towards us? How do we open our hearts and experience the Lord's joy to us? How do we do it? The answer is actually found in the prodigal. I want to show you this. How do we do it? How do we finally come to that place where our heart is open and God can just begin to reveal his joy and his pleasure? How do we do it? The answer is in the prodigal. Look with me at verse 21. And the son said unto his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in the sight and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. So first of all, the prodigal realized that he's coming back home to his father and he has absolutely nothing to bring to his father to merit his father's love and his pleasure. He has absolutely nothing to bring to merit his father's favor. Listen, all he had on his back was rags that smelled like swine. That's all he had. And right here at this moment in time, the prodigal realizes something that his brother don't. He's realizing that he didn't have anything to offer his father that would merit anything. He realized his father loved him and forgave him just because he loved him and wanted to forgive him. Brothers and sisters, listen, God deeply loves us. God deeply loves us simply because we're his children. He deeply loves us simply because we are his children. He takes great joy and he takes great pleasure in us because we are simply his children. And it's that simple. Don't let the simplicity fool you. Listen, we don't merit God's pleasure. We don't merit God's joy because we have all these great things to present to the Lord. We have it because we are his children. And he loves us. And being a father now of my own, I know how real that is. I love my son very deeply. Why? Just because I love him very deeply. He's my son. Secondly, the prodigal realized that his father took great joy in him simply because he was his son and he loved him. And we need to realize the father takes great joy, the father takes great pleasure in us simply because we are his children. That simple. Because we are His children, that's where His pleasure comes from. Not comes from anything we do to try to mirror His love, His joy, His pleasure, simply because we are His children. Yes, He will deal sternly with our disobedience, but my thought this morning is that there are many in the body of Christ that love the Lord and they're not walking in disobedience. They just simply have never experienced truly in their heart the pleasure of the Lord. And it's simply because there's still something in the heart that says, I have to merit His pleasure. And the Lord says, no, you don't. You have my pleasure. You're my son. You're my daughter. Period. That settles it. You just need to open up your heart and receive it by faith. Just receive it by faith. If you'll take that simple step of faith, you will begin to realize the pleasure of God in your heart. I wanted to just bring it out this way. When I was a first year here at Mount Zion, my first year, I went through a season of prayer and fasting lunches, and just going out into the field and just lifting my hands and worshiping and singing songs to the Lord. Oh, I didn't spend a lot of time in prayer, didn't spend a lot of time in the Word. I felt like the Lord was just calling me. Tim, I just want you to come out in the field, lift your hands, sing to me, and worship. You know, and I, Lord, I don't have a very great voice. I'm not a singer. But I still want you to do that. So I would go out in the field, and I would lift my hands, and I would look into the sky, and I would sing love songs to Jesus really from my heart, with all of my heart, loving the Lord, and just worshiping the Lord. And one night, in that season of prayer and fasting, the Lord gave me a dream. That's just one of the ways He speaks to me. And He gave me a dream. And in this dream, I was out in a field, had my hands up, worshiping the Lord, singing a song. And suddenly there appeared a cloud over me. And this cloud took on the appearance of a man's face that was really smiling. And he wasn't just smiling. The face in the cloud wasn't just smiling. It was beaming with great joy. And I have to be honest with you, it's very humorous to me. Very humorous to me to see this smiling face in a cloud beaming with great joy looking at me. It was humorous to me. It was irreverent humor. But I had to laugh. And when I think about it, I have it so vivid in my mind, I can see it now. And this is what the Lord told me. When I woke up from the dream, this is what the Lord told me. He said, Tim, when you love me and you worship me and you lift your hands and your voice and you sing to me, you have no idea how much joy it brings to my heart simply because you're my son. When you lift your hands to me and just worship me and just speak out of your heart, I love you, Jesus, with all my heart. Tim, you have no idea how much joy that brings to my heart simply because you're my child. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell somebody something this morning. You don't have to work to merit God's acceptance. And you don't have to strive in your own strength to try to earn the pleasure and the joy and the favor of God. It's yours. It's already yours. And you need, I feel from the Lord, very simple altar call, but the Lord's going to meet someone in a miraculous way. What you need to do is you need to lay down that working mentality. You need to lay it down before Him. And you simply need to open up your heart and just say by faith, I am your child, Lord. And because I am your child, you take pleasure in me. Your joy is towards me. God, I'm so accepted by you. Ephesians, accepted in the Beloved. And Lord, I just receive it by faith. And when you do that, when by faith, there's going to be something very miraculous that's going to happen. It's very simple. You're going to begin to experience the pleasure of the Lord. I know that. You're going to begin to experience the joy that God has for you in your heart. It's not because you're doing anything great to merit it. Simply by faith, Lord, I'm your child. And I please you. Amen.